This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this week for another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime. Begin this time with Nick Carter, Master Detective, in the case of the imitation robbery, his story from December 22, 1946. After that, it's Richard Diamond, Private Detective, in the Bigfoot Grafton case, his story from August 30, 1950.
Old Dutch Cleanser, famous for chasing dirt, presents Nick Carter, famous for chasing crime. Every week at this time, two great names are joined as Old Dutch Cleanser brings you one of the most resourceful and daring characters in all detective fiction, Nick Carter, Master Detective.
Nick, finding that imitation diamond in the crook's pocket is certainly proof that he was in on the robbery.
Certainly would be, Patsy, if I had found it there.
But you must have. I saw you take it out of his pocket.
You did. I was trying to start something.
Well, oh, I don't understand you at all in this case, Nick. You're doing the craziest things and not getting anywhere.
Ah, that's where you're wrong, Patsy. I expect to catch the robbers before I go to bed tonight. And that's a promise.
Now, the case of the imitation robbery. Today's exciting adventure with Nick Carter, brought to you by Old Dutch Cleanser. As our story opens, Nick and Patsy are in the jewelry shop of Nelson Stroud, talking to the proprietor. It is late fall, and there's a hint of snow in the afternoon air.
The Jewelers Protective Association tells me you reported that you're being systematically robbed, Mr. Stroud.
It must have been going on for weeks, Mr. Carter. So many of my best unset stones have been stolen.
Then it wasn't from holdups, Mr. Stroud?
Holdups? No. It's a lot slicker than that.
Uh-huh.
You see, it's like this. Day before yesterday, Saturday, I happened to see an imitation diamond in the tray with a dozen or so real diamonds. So I became suspicious.
Uh-huh.
You say you just happened to spot the phony stone?
Yes. So yesterday, Sunday, I came down to the store and checked through all the trays. And I found 29 paste stones mixed in with the real ones.
Well, how much will the 29 diamonds that are missing be worth, Mr. Stroud?
At a rough estimate, in the neighborhood of $65,000.
Golly.
And you think somebody brought 29 imitation gems in here and walked out with 29 real ones?
I know it.
How does it happen none of your clerks spotted the fakes?
These fake stones are too good, Mr. Carter. That's the trouble. Here, look at this one.
Why, Nick, that looks genuine to me.
Yes. It is an excellent job, I must admit.
Close inspection would, of course, reveal them at once. But about all the clerks do as a rule is to run their eye rapidly over the tray after serving a customer and check the number of stones before putting them away.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have any ideas how this substitution might have taken place?
I don't think. I know. Some crook or gang of crooks has come in here time after time asking to see our unset stones and palm the real ones, leaving the fakes in the tray.
Oh, but that would have taken weeks, Mr. Stroud. It couldn't be done too often. And even then, the criminal would be taking a long chance of not being recognized.
But it must have been done that way.
Oh, not necessarily. No, it looks to me as if the crook or crooks had inside help in this.
Nonsense. All three of my clerks are fine men with good references.
That remains to be seen. Show me what you have here in the store in the way of burglar alarms.
Of course. You see, there are counters on each of the three sides of the store. Each counter has an alarm buzzer under it, operated by pressing a button with your foot. Then the vault where the unset stones are kept has a special alarm on it.
Well, how is that operated, Mr. Stroud?
Well, if the dial that works the combinations turned back to 10 first, it automatically rings an alarm. They're all connected direct to police headquarters and the Protective Association.
Uh-huh. The unset diamonds are kept in that vault?
Yes. Here, I'll show you. There. You see, this vault is filled with little trays, only about an inch high. Each tray is numbered to identify the different grades of stone.
Oh, golly, Nick, look at that. There must be 100 trays in there.
Just about. Mr. Stroud, I think I have a plan that'll test the reaction of your clerks. Tomorrow afternoon should be a good time. I'll let you know definitely the exact hour, because I'll need your cooperation.
Of course, Mr. Carter. What are you planning to do?
It's a little unconventional, but it's been done before. Now, here's the plan. About 4 o'clock, I'll send Miss Bowen here to see...
And Nick says he's ready for the test. So will you please disconnect the burglar alarm system?
You're sure this is necessary, Miss Bourne?
Well, you're interested in having these thefts stopped as soon as you can, aren't you?
Of course. Very well, I'll make the necessary arrangements. How long before Mr. Carter will be here?
From what he said, he should be along any minute now.
Something I can do for you, sir? Oh, a gun.
Put your hands on the counter. All three of you, and keep them there.
But this
is a stick-up. No monkey business. Hands on the counter there, you with the black hair, and quick. That's better. Now, you two, get on the other side of the store with Golalux.
Now, look here, you can't...
Shut up, Goldie, and keep your trap shut. All right, you other guys, get over with Goldie, I said, and walk slow, so nobody looking in will think there's anything wrong. Okay. Now, you, Baldy.
Me?
Yeah, you. Open up that vault.
I can't. I don't know the combination.
Open the vault, I said.
But I said...
For the last time, will you open up that...
All right.
Now, haul out all those trays so I can get at them. Wait a minute, Baldy. Don't be picking out just the tray with the cheap stones. I want them all.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, that's enough. You can put them back now.
What?
All right, Mr. Stroud.
Well, Mr. Carter, I hope you learned something.
Yes, all three of your clerks passed with high marks, Mr. Stroud. Baldy here turned the vault dial the wrong way, which would set off the alarm. The other two stepped on their alarm buzzers. I watched their feet.
Then if the alarms had been connected, there would have been three separate alarms rung in headquarters, Nick.
Right, Patsy. Oh, by the way, Mr. Stroud, you better connect the alarm system again, just in case.
Mr. Stroud, what's been going on here? I don't get it.
This is Mr. Nick Carter of the Jewelers Protective Association. He just wanted to be sure you boys were on your toes in case of real trouble.
Oh.
You through now, Mr. Carter?
All through, thanks.
Then let's get back to my office. You can put the trays back, boys.
It's all right, sir.
This all seems very silly to me, Mr. Carter. Did you really learn anything from that little stunt?
I did. Who's the young fellow with the blonde hair?
That's my nephew, Bill Devlin.
And the middle-aged man with the bald head?
Well, that's Arthur Ryan. Been here for 6 years. Darn good clerk.
And who's the good-looking chap with the black hair slicked down so neatly?
Chap by the name of Robert Hill. He's new here, but as far as I know, he's absolutely okay. I called the firm he's been with, and they gave him excellent references.
Maybe so. But he instinctively reached for a gun and a shoulder holster when I first drew my guns. Nothing against him yet, of course, but I'd keep an eye on him.
Well, maybe he's used to having a job where he needed protection, Nick.
Entirely possible, Patsy. I wouldn't want to say until I knew more about him.
You said yesterday you thought this was an inside job, Mr. Carter. Well, I think now that you're wrong.
What do you mean, now?
I'll show you. Here. I found this under the silverware counter this morning.
That's so. Well...
What is it, Nick?
Wad of chewing gum, Patsy. And there's a diamond inside it.
Diamond in a hunk of chewing gum?
Yes. It's an old game. Crook comes in, palms an unset stone, and when the clerk's not looking, sticks the stone to the underside of the counter in the chewing gum.
Huh.
Then, a few days later, he comes in, scrapes the gum off, and walks out. That way, if the stone's missed when he steals it, he can submit to a search and there's nothing on him.
And I bet that's how all 29 of my stones disappeared.
It's possible, Mr. Stroud, but I doubt it. I still think it's an inside job. And I'll tell you what...
Uncle Max. Uncle Max, you said to let you know if anybody I'd seen before came in to look at unset stones.
That's right, I did. Why?
Well, there's a man out there now who's been in at least twice before. Ryan's waiting on him.
Any way I can get a look at him from in here, Mr. Stroud?
Yes, I have a secret panel here that lets me watch the store without being seen. Right here.
Good. You mean that tall, thin man in the brown suit, Devlin?
Yeah, that's the one.
I think, Mr. Stroud, I'll have a talk with that gentleman.
Oh, now be careful, Mr. Carter. I don't want a lawsuit on my hands.
Well, Morgan, interested in diamonds?
Huh? Oh, Nick Carter.
Mind stepping into the office a minute, Morgan? I'd like to have a word with you.
Look, why don't you mind your own business, Carter? I'm minding mine.
I'd like to help you mind yours. This won't take but a minute. And I think you better do as I suggest.
Okay, copper. If there's any funny business, I'm telling you...
Save it, Morgan. Right in here.
Look, I don't know what right you got to drag me in here like this.
A lot of diamonds have been taken out of this store lately without being paid for. You've been in here several times to look at unset stones, so I just want to see if any of those stones have stuck to your fingers. Wouldn't be the first time.
Why, you cheat too
far. Now, look here, Carter. We simply can't go
searching. We can in this case. Morgan's long record at headquarters makes me very suspicious. All right, stand still, Morgan. While I see what you have in your pocket.
I'll sue you for this. I'll sue the store, too. See if I don't.
Well, what's this?
Huh?
Here in your vest pocket.
A diamond.
So he is a...
I never saw that before. I swear.
Now, will you confess, or must I
take it? I never saw that before. Look, there's something wrong, I tell you.
Yes, something is. Let me see that stone.
Hmm. Certainly. Here you are.
I thought so. It's a fake.
You're sure?
Well, of course I'm sure.
And I still say I never saw that thing before. But it don't make no difference now, see? You can't arrest a man for having an imitation diamond in his pocket.
No, Morgan, you're quite right. You can't. You can go now.
I'm going fast enough, but I ain't through with this. I'm going to sue this store. You'll hear from my lawyer later.
But you can't let him go like this. Genuine or imitation, he's at the bottom of this.
Yes, I think you're right, Mr. Stroud.
Then why did you let him go, Nick? Finding that imitation diamond in his pocket is proof, isn't it?
Well, yes, it would be if I'd found it there.
What?
You mean you didn't?
No, I put it there and then pretended to find it.
What?
The fake stone Mr. Stroud showed me yesterday.
I hope you know what you're doing, Mr. Carter. This is all Greek to me.
Yes, Nick. What in heaven's name are you doing? Playing games?
Why, Patsy, you know me better than that.
Well, I thought I did.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Stroud, didn't you tell me none of your clerks knew of these thefts?
That's right. I left the fake stones in the trays where I found them.
Well, if you were so sure this wasn't an inside job, why didn't you want the clerks to know about the loss?
Well, you see... Well, it was really only when I found that wad of chewing gum under the counter that I finally decided it was an outside job.
I see. Well, in that case, I believe I'll search your clerks before they go home tonight.
What?
May turn up something. What time do you close?
5:30, but I...
5:30 now, so... Or 5 o'clock now, rather, so I guess I'll wait, if you don't mind.
Oh, I don't like it, but I guess you'll do it anyway. Go ahead, wait if you want to.
Better take your overcoat off, Nick. It's pretty warm in here.
Thanks, Patsy. I'll do that. Might as well be comfortable as we can while we're waiting.
They ought to be through in the store by now. I told them to come in here when they were ready to go home.
I can wait.
I still say this is the craziest way to find out...
You wanted to see us, Uncle Max?
No, I did. Gentlemen, a number of unset diamonds have been stolen from the store recently. Mr. Stroud says you're all okay, but just as a matter of routine, I'd like to search each of you before you leave tonight. Any objections?
No.
All right, Devlin, I'll take you first.
Yes, sir.
You're clean. Now you, Hill?
Yes, sir.
Nothing on you?
Huh.
All right, Ryan, you're next.
Well, I don't know. What?
Right. You can go now. Thank you.
Good night,
Mr. Stroud. Good night. Oh, Nick, that was the silliest exhibition I've ever seen you give. Why, those men could have a dozen stones concealed in their clothes and you'd never have found them.
The girl's right. That was no search at all, and you didn't really think one of them would be fool enough to try to walk out of here tonight of all nights with a diamond hidden on him?
Perhaps I was looking for something else.
Huh?
Something else? Did you find it?
I won't know till later, Patsy.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I'll go and see that everything's locked up for the night, if you'll excuse me.
Now, I want to get the names and addresses of those clerks before I go. Oh, where did I put my pencil? Had it earlier this afternoon.
Maybe it's in your overcoat pocket, Nick.
Maybe.
I'll have a look, anyway. Well.
Nick, you're looking in the wrong coat. That's Mr. Stroud's coat.
Yes. So I've just discovered. And look here.
Diamonds. Two beautiful diamonds.
Yes. And these aren't ponies. They're the real thing.
They were in Mr. Stroud's coat?
Yes, Betsy. Two genuine unset diamonds in Mr. Stroud's overcoat pocket.
Now back to the case of the imitation robbery. Today's exciting adventure with Nick Carter, brought to you by Old Dutch Cleanser. It's a few minutes after Nick found the two real diamonds in the overcoat pocket of Mr. Stroud, the jeweler, and Stroud has just returned to his office and is locking up the store for the night.
Anything else, Mr. Carter?
Yes, just one more thing, Mr. Stroud. Will you give me the addresses of your three clerks?
There they are on that phone list.
Oh, yes. Copy them down for me, will you, Patsy?
Of course, Nick.
And will you let me look in your vault once more before we go, Mr. Stroud?
I suppose so. But I'd like to get home sometime tonight.
You'd like to stop the robberies, too, wouldn't you?
Naturally. By the way you're going at it, I can't see... There you are. Now what?
I'm going to pull out certain of these drawers of unset stones. This, these two, this, and these two. Now, Mr. Stroud, will you tell me, please, whether or not there are any phony stones in any of the drawers I have not pulled out?
Let me see. I know you've pulled out every tray that has a fake stone in it. How did you know?
I have a good memory, Mr. Stroud. You can close the vault now.
Ready to go, Nick?
Yes, Patsy, all set.
Good.
How could you tell which trays had the phonies in them, Mr. Carter?
Those seven trays are the ones Ryan pulled out first when I pretended to rob the place.
Well, that shows he's a good man. Wanted to get rid of the bad stones and keep the good ones if he could.
Well, that's really clever.
Now, look, I don't want to hurry you, Mr. Carter, but I'd like to get my dinner. If you need me, you can reach me at Deal's Restaurant. I eat there every night. Well, that is, unless you'd care to join me.
No, thanks, Mr. Stroud. I have something else to do right now. Come on, Patsy.
All right with you, Nick.
After you, mademoiselle.
Oh, merci, monsieur.
Expect any results in the near future, Mr. Carter?
I do. In the very near future.
I hope so. Well, good night.
Good night.
Get in touch with me when you have anything definite.
Good night. It certainly doesn't sound very optimistic, Nick. And I can't say I blame him much. The way you've been acting today. It isn't like you, Nick.
Well, this case isn't like any other either, Patsy. It's always a good idea to fit your methods to what you're trying to do. Well, good night. I'll see you in the morning.
But you're not going back to the office?
No, indeed. I expect to finish up this case this evening. I have something else I want to do tomorrow.
Darkest hole. Wish they'd put that doggone light switch
on. Don't turn on the lights.
That you, Morgan?
Yeah.
Gosh, you gave me a scare. For a minute, I thought you were a
cop. Well, you're getting scared at last, are you? It's about time. Been trying to tell you we can't keep this up forever, but no, you knew it all. Now look where we are.
What are you doing here? Why'd you come here to my apartment?
I came here for my share of the ice. I'm through. Washed up. After what happened in Stroud's office today, I ain't sticking
what
around.
What did happen?
That copper Nick Carter searched me.
But so what? He didn't find anything, did he? That's the beauty of the way we got this racket fixed. They can search any time they like and find nothing.
Yeah, you know so much, Ryan. Carter did find something.
What?
He found a fake diamond in my vest pocket.
You blundering fool. Why the devil did you have one of the
I didn't have it. Carter planted it on me. I was framed.
Framed? Why?
I don't know. But I do know he wouldn't have framed me if he wasn't on to me. From now on, I'll be watched like a hawk, so I'm leaving town on the first train out.
Anybody follow you here?
Nah, not a chance. A bloodhound couldn't have trailed me the way I came here. And I climbed up the fire escape in the back, and I got in through the kitchen window. And I ain't had a light in here either, in case somebody might be watching from the next door roof, maybe.
I hope you're right, Morgan.
Don't worry. You're in the clear. But I ain't, see? So I'm getting out of here as soon as I get my half of the stuff. Can you find it in the dark?
Sure. I can find it all right with the lights off, but a dozen detectives couldn't find it with the lights on. In the base of this lamp right here. Very cleverly concealed in a hollow special wall. They packed in cotton so you can shake the thing, not hear
anything. Nah, come on. Never mind the lecture. Let's have the stones.
I've got to get them first, don't I? There they are. I had count them.
Let me see. There ought to be 28 of them. 29 we got away with when we left in the gum for a phony clue.
Yeah, I may have to have some light to see how we're dividing them. I'll get a blanket.
If you want some light, I'll give it to you.
What the...
How's this?
Nick Carter!
How the deuce did
you... Don't let my gun scare you. You play pretty, I won't have to use it. But if you get rough, so do I.
Okay, Carter. What do you want?
So a dozen detectives couldn't find the diamonds, huh, Baldy? I thought you'd have them hidden away pretty well, so I've been waiting in the bedroom until you found them for me.
You mean... You mean you was here when
Morgan, I... Morgan, you passed within 2 feet of me when you came in.
I wish I'd have known you was here.
I don't doubt it. Well, boys, that was a very interesting conversation I heard you two having.
You can put it in writing later when we go down and see Sergeant Matheson. He'll be very happy.
Get him, Ryan!
Oh, you want to play? Yeah.
All right. Come on,
Wayne. Watch yourself, Morgan.
All right.
I didn't want to shoot you guys if I didn't have to. And it looks as if I didn't have to.
Homicide, Sergeant Matheson.
Hiya, Matty. Nick, got a couple of crooks for you. You want them for a Christmas present?
Sure, I want them. Tell me more, Santa Claus. Tell me more.
All right, send the squad car up to 1753 North Garvin Street.
And now we return to Nick Carter. As we pick up our story, we find Nick and Patsy at headquarters in Matty's office. Mr. Stroud, the jeweler, has come down to identify the stolen gems.
You're sure these are the diamonds stolen from your store, Mr. Stroud?
As near as I can identify unset stones, I'm sure. But there are only 28 here. 29 were stolen.
Well, you forget the one you found in the wad of chewing gum.
Oh, of course, Mr. Carter. I didn't think of that.
Did those two men confess, Sergeant?
Yep. Got everything down in black and white now. Nick knocked all the fight out of him.
I seem to have been all wrong in my opinion of your ability, Mr. Carter. I apologize. I thought you were just fooling around today.
Well, I almost thought that myself, but knowing Nick, I should have had more faith in him.
Look, Nick don't fool around without he's got some idea in mind.
But you have to admit, Mr. Carter, you would have been stuck if this accomplice of Ryan's, this Morgan fella, hadn't come into the store while you were there.
Well, that was a help, certainly, but I could have got along without him. How do you suppose I happened to be in Ryan's flat in the first place?
Why, I suppose you trailed him there.
Oh, wrong, Mr. Stroud. I beat him there. I was waiting for him when he got there.
But how could you do that? Nick, you ain't told me the whole story now.
The fake holdup told me all about that clerk, Ryan.
Well, go on, Nick. Give out no secrets.
Yeah, come on.
Well, I told you that Ryan started pulling out certain trays of diamonds from the vault before I made him pull them all out.
Uh-huh.
Later, when I pulled out those same seven trays, Mr. Stroud, you told me those were the trays that contained all the phony stones.
Yes, that's right. I told you that he was trying to be sure that if any diamonds were stolen, it would be the fake ones.
But you forget. At that time, none of the clerks were supposed to know there were any fake stones. So he could only know where they were if he himself had put them there.
Why, of course, Nick. It's so simple when you tell it.
His real idea was to get rid of the phony stones before they were discovered, if possible.
But it couldn't have been Ryan. You searched him and found nothing.
Well, Mr. Stroud, you really wouldn't expect him to walk out of there with a diamond on him when he knew he might be searched any time, would you?
No.
No, he was too clever for that.
Well, for the love of Pete, who did take them out of the store? It couldn't have been Morgan, could it? That would have been just as dangerous.
Quite right, Matty, quite right. Neither of them carried them out.
Huh?
Mr. Stroud took the stones out for them.
Now, look here, Carter. If you're insinuating that I...
Easy, Mr. Stroud. I'm not saying you knew you were taking them out.
Huh?
Now, here's what happened. Morgan came in the store every few days, always being sure Ryan was free to wait on him. He gave Ryan the phony stones. Ryan substituted them for the genuine ones, then put the real stones in your overcoat pocket.
What?
Nick, you mean those stones you found there this afternoon were put there by Ryan?
Exactly, Patsy.
What?
When Mr. Stroud had dinner in that restaurant he said he went to every night, he hung his overcoat on a hook.
Yeah.
And Morgan, an expert pickpocket, picked the stones out of his overcoat pocket.
Oh.
In that way, neither Morgan or Ryan had the stones on them at a time when they might be searched.
Huh. It's a wonder I never felt them in my pocket while I was on my way to the restaurant.
You wear heavy gloves, don't you?
Oh, yes.
And you put them on as soon as you leave the store, don't you?
I do.
Well, see, practically no risk. Diamonds aren't very big in an overcoat pocket, you know.
Well, I'll be doggone.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Stroud, here are two diamonds that I found in your overcoat pocket this afternoon while I was waiting in your office. Morgan must have been surprised when he searched your pocket for them tonight and didn't find them.
Well, thanks, Mr. Carter. You seem to have taken care of everything.
If Morgan hadn't waited to try to get those diamonds from you as you left tonight, I might not have been able to beat him to Ryan's room. But he did. And I did.
There's one more thing, Nick. You said when you held up the store that Ryan turned the dial on the vault the wrong way so as to set off the alarm. Why should he do that if he really wanted the fake stone stolen?
Patsy had nothing to lose. He knew the other two men had already pressed the foot buzzers and sounded the alarm that way. And it was safer for him to do it the way he ought to in case either of the other clerks was watching him.
Oh, I gotta admit it, Nick. You're a wonder. I suppose you planted the fake stone on Morgan like you did so as to put him on his guard and start him worrying, huh?
That's the answer, Matty.
Oh.
There's an old saying, you remember. When thieves fall out, Honest men get their chance.
Yeah.
Well, these two thieves decided to fall out when they saw what was up. And Mr. Stroud, an honest man, gets his diamonds back, which is as it should be.
Quite a tale, Nick. What happened to Ryan and Morgan?
They were brought to trial, Bob, and sentenced to spend many long years behind bars. And believe me, they'll be a lot older than they are now when they get out.
I'm glad to hear it. But what about the clerk who reached for his gun during the fake holdup? Did you ever find out about him?
Oh, yes, yes. It seems that he used to be in the state police out west when he was younger. Really very simple when you know the answer, as Patsy says.
Now, what can you tell us about the adventure that Old Dutch Clench is going to bring us next week?
Well, Bob, it's a story of what happened in one of our great observatories when two men of science each claimed to have made an important discovery.
If they'd only stuck to arguing, it might have been all right, but the argument ended in murder.
And a peculiarly fiendish type of murder, too, as well as a very difficult one to track down.
But did you find the killer?
Oh, yes, finally. With the help of a mad old man who didn't even know what he was telling us.
What do you call the story, Nick?
I call it The Case of the Heavenly Body.
Nick Carter, Master Detective, is presented each week at this time and over these same stations by the Cudahy Packing Company, makers of Old Dutch Cleanser. Remember, when you go shopping tomorrow, get the cleanser preferred by more women in America than any other. Old Dutch Cleanser. Nick Carter, Master Detective, produced and directed by Jock McGregor, is copyrighted by Street & Smith Publications, Incorporated. Lon Clark is starred as Nick, with Charlotte Manson featured as Patsy. Matty is played by Ed Latimer. Script is written by Jock McGregor. Original music is played by George Wright. This program is fictional, and any resemblance therein to actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This is Bob Martin saying, when minutes count, use Old Dutch Cleanser. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Listen while the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Good evening. This is your Rexall family druggist with a welcome from the 10,000 independent druggists who have made the word Rexall part of our own store names. We've done that because we recommend and sell the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company. Like Rexall mineral oil, for example. This is the mineral oil specially refined for extra heavy body. What's more, Rexall mineral oil is tasteless, odorless, colorless, non-irritating, and non-habit-forming. Quality like that is what we family druggists are talking about when we tell you you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Now your Rexall family druggist brings you a transcribed half hour with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Just a moment.
Diamond. Diamond, pick up the receiver and speak to me or I'll...
Walt, is that your blood pressure I hear bubbling or are you calling from Niagara Falls?
What's the big idea? Keep me waiting like that.
Well, the big idea is that it's a beautiful day and I'm happy. When I'm happy, I whistle. And when I'm happy and whistling, I don't like to be interrupted.
I'll remember that the next time you're unhappy and you ask a favor from me. You can whistle then, too.
Oh, the great, big, important police lieutenant wants a favor from poor little old Richard Diamond.
I want you to go to a funeral.
Yours?
No, it's mine. So Hey, I'll live to dance the Charleston on your grave, wise guy. Well, they're burying Bigfoot Grafton this afternoon.
How do you know?
How do I know? How do I know what?
That it's Bigfoot Grafton they're tucking in. The way it read in my paper, the Harbor Patrol fished out a guy presumed to be Bigfoot Grafton, boy racketeer.
We're satisfied with the identification.
Huh? Fingerprints?
Fingerprints. Look, the body was in the Hudson River for nearly a week.
Oh. Then tell me, what makes you so sure the guy they're putting in the ground today is Grafton?
Look, Diamond, you're beginning to exasperate me. Will you or won't you go with us to Bigfoot Grafton's funeral this afternoon?
Why me?
Maybe you can show the boys how to dig the grave.
Oh, Walt, that's silly. I don't know a grave from a hole in the ground. So why me?
Because you once told me about a little business matter you had with some of Grafton's gang out west. And because some of those same hoods may attend the funeral. And because if any of them do, you'll recognize them.
And I can point them out to you.
Say, you are a detective. Otis and I'll pick you up in about an hour. Goodbye, Diamond.
Goodbye, Bright Eyes.
Come on, Billy. How many times have I got to tell you this is the only thing left to do?
It's all wrong, Marge. I tell you, there's no need to call in a private eye.
Well, hello, girl.
Who are you?
The name's on the door.
Your Diamond?
You see something you don't like?
Yeah, you.
Oh, you'll never be lovely, be engaged, or get to use ponds with an attitude like that.
It's a waste of time, Marge. A waste of time.
Lay off it, Billy. I know what's right. We came a long way to see you, Diamond. All the way from West Frampton we came. We're ducklings.
Well, first impressions are so deceiving. I almost thought you were girls. Now, look, there's a psychiatrist just down the hall who...
Get this, Billy. The guy thinks we're nuts.
Well, maybe you are a couple of ducks, and I'm the one who's crazy.
Not ducks. Ducklings.
Oh. Well, then if you have that kind of a problem, go to the Audubon Society.
You never heard of the Long Island ducklings? All we done was win the pennant last year.
Pennant? Oh, baseball?
Now it's coming. We're a girls' softball team. We got our own park out in West Frampton. I play third base.
Who's on first?
Me. Come on, let's get out of here, Marge.
We'll stay. We gotta find Lottie, and he's gotta help us.
Lottie?
Lottie Wyrochek, our second baseman. She's been missing almost a week now. We can't win without our second baseman.
Oh, yes. I can see where it must leave quite a gap between first base and shortstop.
We ain't gonna win the pennant again unless we get Lottie back, Diamond. We gotta have her. You're elected.
Elected? I'm not even sure I accept the nomination.
See, let's go, Marge.
You don't want the job, Diamond?
Well, I've never looked for a missing second baseman before. I wouldn't know where to begin.
A fine detective. Here, you begin by looking at her snapshot.
Oh, no, girls. Really, I'm terribly busy right now. I've got to go to a funeral and help the police department
look
with it.
Look at her picture.
But I tell you, I... Don't tell me this is...
Lottie Wyrochek.
You mean a girl who looks like this wastes her nights playing second base?
Yeah.
Wastes, he says. Diamond, stop drooling. You take the job?
Well, I'm tempted, yes. I'm very tempted. Now, let's get some answers first.
Ask Billy. She's her roommate.
All right. Now, think back, Billy, to a day or so before she disappeared. She seemed worried about anything? Nervous? Upset?
No. Why, she even hit two home runs the very last night she played.
She did, huh? Well... I wonder if... Oh, no, that isn't possible. The Dodgers do a lot of things, but they wouldn't kidnap people. You say she's been with the team 2 years?
Yeah.
Diamond, what sort of questions are these?
Please, Lefty. It's my turn at bat. Now, Billy, what did she do before she became a second baseman?
Who knows?
You'll find her for us?
For you? Oh, no. For me. They gave me a pass for the game that night with the Amagansett Amazons, informed me how to get out to West Frampton the quickest way as the E-train flies, then exploded themselves out, leaving me with a snapshot of a second baseman who looked like Jane Russell, only more so. I wasn't able to dream too long because soon the door opened and I looked up to find the most beautiful gabardine suit I'd ever seen walking toward my desk on the frame of the ugliest hoodlum I'd ever seen.
Hey, you, Diamond?
To some people... To others, I'm Mr. Diamond.
Diamond. Mr. Diamond. The late Mr. Diamond. Yeah, that's the one I like the best.
All right, Parrot Puss. Who's been eating your crackers?
All right, comic. I'm just a boy with a message.
Well, spill it.
You had visitors, huh?
Yeah?
Yeah. A couple of overgrown tomatoes. A couple of tomatoes that look more like they belong to the Russian infantry than to the human race.
Well, you're not very much to look at yourself, ugly. Get on with the message.
Messages lay off. Don't go looking for no missing girl. You don't wake up with no bullet holes where your eyes ought to be. Huh? That's the message, the whole message.
No signature?
You don't need no signature, friend. Goodbye, Mr. Diamond.
Just a minute, Repulsive.
Yeah?
I want to tell you about the last side of the mouth punk who brought me a message like this without a signature.
Go on. Frighten me. Go on. Hey, just stand back, that Diamond. Don't come no closer. I'll let you...
Don't reach into that pocket, punk.
No, my arm.
Now, let me get it for you. Al, a Luger.
Oh, you...
And almost as ugly as you are. We won't be needing it for this game.
My arm. My arm.
Oh, there's your arm. Now, put it up with the other one, and I'll knock your head off. A few seconds later, when I picked myself up off the floor, I looked around for my spar mate, but he'd taken his arms and gone home. Leaving me with an eye which for weeks to come would have me lying to people about walking into a door. Yeah, a door wearing gabardine.
How'd you get that shiner, Diamond?
I walked into a door, Walt. A door with a fist at the end of it. Where is this cemetery? South Carolina?
We'll be there soon. Bigfoot Grafton won't mind waiting a little longer.
Assuming, Sergeant Otis, that it is Bigfoot Grafton they're planting.
Oh, no, you're not going to start that again. I told you on the phone. We're satisfied with the identification.
What identification?
Laundry marks and Grafton's shirt. Cleaning marks and Grafton's suit.
Go on.
What do you mean, go on?
Look, Walt, suppose you're wanted for murder. Two murder raps, and you don't have a chance of beating. And suppose that next to the mailman with the income tax refunds, you're the most looked-for guy in the country.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're going to say, Diamond. You think maybe Grafton finds a sucker with his same general build, shoots him in the spine, changes clothes with him, and then dumps him in the big bathtub.
That's right, Walt.
Well, us silly, confused homicide cops figured that way, too. Until we checked up on what gave Grafton his nickname.
His nickname? Bigfoot.
Yeah. 14 and a half. We found his shoemaker. He verified the size.
So?
So it's possible that Grafton can find a guy that fits his general physique. It's even possible that the guy he finds not only is built the same way body-wise, but wears exactly size 14 and a half Brogans, too. Yeah, it's possible, but highly improbable.
Yeah, maybe you're right at that.
Well, on behalf of myself and all the other simple-minded fellas known as cops, thank you, Diamond, for saying what you just did. Thank you. There's the cemetery.
It was just a simple little funeral. Except that the coffin cost maybe $10,000 more than mine will ever cost. And excluding the fact that there were enough flowers to make a couple of dozen floats for the Turnip of Roses parade. Yes, it was just a simple little funeral with maybe 1,000 simple little mourners. Good conservative people, like safe blowers, burglars, con men, petty thieves, and some not so petty. Big wheels, little wheels, chiselers, grifters, grafters, jip artists.
Well, Diamond, you see anyone who used to run with Grafton's mom?
No, not yet. Hey, now look. Now, what's he doing here?
Oh.
The parrot nose and the stylish gabardine suit.
I've been admiring that suit. Gabardine, huh? Too bad a poor little gabardine had to go give up its life just so a mug like that could have a suit.
Where are you going, Diamond? Who is that guy?
He's a messenger boy. I'll be right back. I edged my way through the crowd toward him, hoping that in view of the solemnity of the occasion, none of the pickpockets among the mourners would make use of the opportunity to swipe my suspenders. 5 yards away, he turned. He saw me and started to run. I put my head down like a sprinter and turned to follow. There's nothing like a merry chase in a merry place like a cemetery. And just when I thought I had him...
Ooh! Ooh! Diamond! Diamond, what are you doing running into tombstones?
Oh, well, I suddenly remembered it's been years since I had a collision with a tombstone.
Ooh, what were you chasing that guy with a fancy suit for?
I wanted to find out who his tailor is. Look, Otis got a good look at that twerp I was chasing. Tell him to go through Rogue's Gallery and try to identify him for me, huh?
Yeah, but where are you going?
Me? No, I think I'll go to a ball game. It was a good game as games go, fast and exciting, and my girls did themselves proud, 8-3. Even though the girl who was playing second in place of the missing Lottie made 3 errors. After the game, I was in the corridor outside the dressing room talking to Billy, the first baseman. The one who didn't think I should have been hired to bird dog the missing girl.
Look, Diamond, this is all for nothing. Lottie ain't missing.
We never called on you. There's no case.
Now, that's the same tune with a slightly different lyric and ugly in a gabardine suit sang to me. It's a good thing I'm stubborn.
It's a bad thing, Diamond, for you. It's gonna maybe cost you your life. No. No! Don't!
It happened that fast. By the time I turned around to see who did the shooting, he had disappeared in the crowd.
Dirty heel. Diamond, what happened?
I heard shooting.
Stand back, everybody. Send for a doctor.
Oh, my God. He rotten heel. I was on his team.
Who, Billy? Who?
I told him, Marge. Called on you to find Lottie.
Who, dear?
They'll kill Lottie. They'll kill Lottie.
Billy. Billy.
Diamond. Is she?
If anyone asks you who's on first, the answer is no one.
Before we continue with the adventures of Richard Diamond, private detective, here's your Rexall Family Druggist.
I've discovered lately that a lot of people think they don't need to take any precautions against vitamin deficiency during the summer months. But the truth is, we're just as apt to be low on vitamins during the summer as any other season.
Then you think people should continue right through the summer taking a vitamin supplement?
Indeed I do, ma'am. And the one I recommend is Rexall Plenamins.
Why exactly?
Well, just 2 Plenamin capsules a day give you more than your minimum daily requirement of every vitamin for which such requirements have been established, plus valuable liver concentrate and iron, plus other beneficial factors of the vitamin B complex.
Say, with all that, they must be expensive.
On the contrary, Plenamins cost you only pennies per day. Ask for Plenamins at any Rexall drugstore, and remember, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
And now back to tonight's adventure with Richard Diamond, private detective, starring Dick Powell.
Diamond, this department isn't in operation so that you can find girls. I don't care how she looks in her baseball uniform.
Oh, but this is business, Walt. I tell you, she's been kidnapped. Another girl on the team was just murdered.
Another murder? Where?
West Frampton.
West who?
Frampton, out on Long Island.
City limits?
No.
That's the quickest case I ever marked closed. What do you want to waste my time with imported homicides for? Don't I have enough to do right here?
Oh, but Walt...
Don't bot me. They've been knocking each other off like flies this week. We're so jammed up, I got 3 stiffs that don't even have a place to lie down.
4, if you include Otis.
Oh, just for that wise guy, I ain't talking.
Oh, if I could only be sure of that.
I mean, I ain't talking about the guy you played tag with in the cemetery. I found him in the picture book, all right, Diamond. It took me 2 hours. And just for making cracks at me, I ain't telling you his name.
Whose name?
Joe Gabardine's, that's whose. And I ain't telling you what else I found out about him in the picture book either.
Why not?
Because you think you're smarter than the whole police department put together, that's why not.
Oh.
And so if I go spill to you that this Joe Gabardine used to work as a gunsel for the late Bigfoot Grafton, you're gonna right away say Bigfoot Grafton ain't dead after all, and that I'm a dope.
Walt, you hear that? The guy that threatened me if I went looking for Lottie Wirecheck, this Joe Gabardine, is one of Grafton's boys.
Say, who told you?
Was one of Grafton's boys. Grafton's dead.
No, but maybe not. Maybe all these shenanigans are part of Grafton's plot to put some sucker in his coffin and stay undercover.
Sure, sure.
Maybe Lottie Wirecheck knew in some way or other that the guy they fished out of the river and buried today wasn't Grafton. Look, Walt, you got a...
Diamond, tell me. That name you said, the one that sounds like something spelled backwards.
Wirecheck?
That's funny.
What's funny?
That's the same name as this dame's in the file missing person sent over. Only this one's name is Lottie Wirecheck.
So's this one, you dope.
You mean there's 2 dames with a name like that?
Yeah, just like there are 2 heads on a sergeant named Otis Loveloon.
Now, listen here.
Who reported her missing?
Just for being a fresh guy, I ain't gonna tell you.
You ain't gonna tell him what?
That it says here on the file card that this doctor reported her missing.
Who said anything about a doctor?
Huh?
You sick, Otis? You need a doctor?
I ain't sick. Besides, he ain't that kind of doctor. He's a dentist.
Who's a dentist?
This Dr. Almond, Dr. Percy Almond, 223 Park Avenue.
So?
What do you mean, so?
What about him?
What do you mean, what about him?
Well, you brought him into the conversation, Dr. Percy Almond. You said 223 Park Avenue. What made you mention him if you don't have anything to say about him?
He's the guy who reported this Lottie Watchamacheck missing, you dope. Gee, Diamond, are you dumb?
Dr. Percy Almond's home for decrepit teeth at 223 Park Avenue was a fancy schmancy establishment where bad little molars and bicuspids went in for punishment. I could tell even before I met Almond that he was the kind of drill artist who assured the customers there'd be no pain. No pain at all, and there usually wasn't, until the customers got their bills. The office was a ground floor professional suite that opened directly on the street, and when I pushed open the door and went in, this kind of nice middle-aged guy greeted me with,
"Yes?
I'm looking for Dr. Almond."
"I'm Dr. Almond, but it's after my office hours, young man, unless it's an emergency."
"Well, it's about Lottie. Lottie Wirecheck."
"Lottie? You're from the police. You found her."
"Well, not yet, no. And I'm not from the police."
"Not the... Who are you?"
"My name is Diamond. I'm a private investigator."
"Oh." "You gave me quite a turn for a moment."
"Well, I'm sorry. Doctor, I'd like you to tell me a few things."
"What sort of things?"
"Lottie Wirecheck. What's she to you?"
"Well, presently just a friend. Formerly the best dental assistant I ever had. An extremely nice girl."
Yes, I saw her snapshot. "A dental assistant, huh?"
"Yeah, lovely, lovely girl. I hated to lose her. But this baseball thing had been burning in her for a long time. Look, Diamond, just how much do you know about all this?"
"Well, I know that Lottie's missing. Maybe in trouble."
"Well, I do need help. Perhaps I'd better tell you everything."
"I'm game."
"But I think I should warn you. The information I'm going to give you is dangerous. It may mean your life."
"Well, I'm still game. Maybe not as much as a few seconds ago, but..."
"Very well. A year or so ago, I had a patient, a man who called himself Dunn, George Dunn."
"And then you found out that Dunn wasn't Dunn at all. That he had very big feet and he was a racketeer named Grafton."
"Yes. You're very clever, Diamond. It was the dental chart he wanted. He threatened me. I felt that if I ever gave it to him, he'd feel the necessity for killing me. So I gave the chart to Lottie to keep..."
It happened so fast, I barely had time to leap behind a chair. One second, the doctor and I were talking. The next, everything was bedlam and confusion. And blood, and death, and anger. My anger. The doctor had caught one smack between the eyes. And I got mad, shooting mad. I charged out of that office maybe 10 seconds behind the killer, just in time to see him get into a car and melt away into the traffic. He headed east, then south, and east again, then stopped at a crummy-looking building and went in. And that's when smart, shrewd, clever private detective Diamond climbed a drain pipe, tore his pants, looked inside a second-floor window, saw a girl tied to a chair, and, like Lochinvar, broke in to rescue the fair second baseman in distress. Lottie?
Look out!
Oh, this was getting monotonous. The billy caught me on the back of the neck, and while it didn't knock me out, it didn't make me feel like dancing either. The first thing I was aware of when I oriented myself to my new condition was the biggest pair of feet I'd ever seen. And the next thing I saw was the gabardine suit containing in its bright, clean folds the filthiest little murder artist I'd ever seen. So I made like a possum and pretended I was asleep.
So, say, Grafton, I told you the Shamus followed me. I want him.
He's all yours, Joe, I promise, but later.
Why later? Why wait?
Because I gotta get that dental chart, that's why. Now that you've rubbed off the dentist and that goofy Billy the ball player, that chart's the only thing in the world that can prove Bigfoot Grafton's still alive.
So why does that have to hold up Diamond's execution?
Because maybe he knows where the dental chart's hid. I'm giving up on the dame here. She'd have told us long ago if she knew.
If Diamond knows, he'll talk. Even if he don't know, he'll talk. And scream, too.
Later, Joe. Now put that pig sticker back in your pocket.
I don't hear you, Grafton. This Diamond made me unhappy, and I don't like to wait.
I said put that knife away, Joe.
I still don't hear you.
All right, Joe.
I
knew this was the only chance I'd get. They were too busy showing each other their fangs to give me their undivided attention. And so the possum stopped playing possum and made a stab at playing tiger. The act started with a well-aimed kick to what the fight reporters call the midsection.
and the gabardine suit folded limply and sagged to the floor like it didn't even have a man inside it. And that's when Grafton pulled the gun, and that's when I made a grab for his knee. And you guessed it, there was a shot. And then there was a punch that made a mess out of a jawbone. And I'm happy to report that this time it wasn't mine.
Oh, you're wonderful. What's your name?
Well, honey, my name's Diamond.
Diamond?
Yes, dear. And believe me, a diamond is a girl's best friend.
I hadn't anyone till you. I was a lonely one till you. I used to lie awake and wonder if there could be a someone in the wide world just made for me. Now I see I had to save my love for you. I never gave my love till you. And through my lonely heart demanding it, Cupid took a hand in it. I hadn't anyone till you.
You're so romantic, even with a black eye.
No. Thank you, dear.
Oh, Ricky, darling, it must have been dreadful.
Oh, it had its moments, Helen.
Yes, I saw that photograph. A second baseman.
What's the matter with a second baseman?
Well, Ricky, if she were any good, wouldn't she be a first baseman?
Honey, I don't think you understand too much about baseball.
Teach me.
Oh, it takes years, baby, years.
Well?
Hmm? Well, baseball's a game that's divided into innings. Nine innings.
Inning? What's an inning?
Maybe I better teach you how to play post office.
No. Ricky, please.
Well, let's see now. An inning is a sort of a division, a stanza, a frame. Yeah, that's right, a frame.
A frame? An inning's a frame?
Hey, you're digging it.
No, I'm not, Ricky, not really. Maybe we'd better forget it.
All right.
And inning is a frame.
That's right, dear. An inning is a frame.
Hmm. Ricky, was she nice?
Lottie?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll say this for her. She sure had a beautiful inning.
Again, here's your Rexall Family Druggist.
Don't wait until you're already suffering from acid stomach and then wish you had Bismarex on hand. Buy a bottle tomorrow. This famous Rexall antacid often neutralizes excess acidity within 1 minute. More than that, Bismarex gives relief that's continuous and prolonged because its scientifically balanced ingredients work in sequence, easing gastric distress and leaving a soothing, protective covering on irritated stomach membranes. Ask your Rexall druggist for Bismarex. He'll tell you, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective, stars Dick Powell in the title role and is written by Michael Camroy with music composed and conducted by Frank Worth. Featured in tonight's cast were Ted DeCorsia, Wilms Herbert, John Daner, Bill Conrad, Virginia Gregg, Gloria Blondell, and Sidney Miller. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, was transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle. This is Bill Foreman inviting you to be with us next Wednesday at this time when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Hiya, beautiful.
Get lost, Bristlepuss. You need a shave.
But I have shaved. What else do you want me to do?
Silly boy, she wants you to go stag.
Go stag? But why?
Because Stag is Rexall's exclusive line of men's good grooming aids, like Stag Brushless Shave Cream. No fuss, no massage, just smooth it on and presto, you get a clean, close shave. Your face stays smooth and whiskerless all day long.
I'll go stag.
That's it. Join the Stag line now at Rexall drugstores everywhere.
Yes, to make girls care. Go stag.
Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Dick Powell, who stars as Richard Diamond each week at this time, is a chime star, and there are many more of your favorite entertainers who are chime stars on NBC. Listen for the familiar NBC chimes. They're your invitation to fine radio entertainment. Whether it's action-packed adventure mystery, comedy, music, drama, or news, you'll find the very best on your favorite NBC station. Listen again next Wednesday at this same time for another exciting adventure with Dick Powell, starred as Richard Diamond. And remember, three chimes mean good times on NBC. In 2 weeks, enjoy the Halls of Ivy with Ronald Coleman on NBC.
And so ends another episode of Case Closed. If you want to find more from Richard Diamond, Nick Carter, past episodes of this podcast, and all the others, just visit relicradio.com. There's also a link there to our Shoutcast stream, and you can donate through the website as well if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Your donations make all of this possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed.